I began to look at the Greek of the New Testament many years ago. I was doing an extramural course from London University on the New Testament, and part of it was learning the Old Testament and New Testament languages. Well, I didn't do very well with Hebrew, but I did reasonably well with the Greek. And I looked at this verse many years ago, but one of the churches that I go to on a regular basis to speak asked me to look at the I Ams of the Lord Jesus. And so I'm preparing at the moment for the second one. And I've so enjoyed this preparation that I thought I'd bring it with me and share with you some of the things that I've learned up to now. It's in the 14th chapter of John, and it's verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And as I looked at the original language and got out various books to help my understanding, it was the word that Jesus used that is translated into the English word way that began to intrigue me. Because you can translate it in three different ways, and they're all true. The Greek word is odos, H-O-D-O-S, and it can mean the actual road that you're travelling on, the actual road itself, right? That's the first thing it can mean when Jesus said, I am the way. He could have been saying, I'm the street, I'm the avenue, I'm the close, I'm the grove, I'm the road. Second way is the way that we're travelling and the reason for it. Right? So I might be travelling as an adventure. I might be travelling simply to go from A to B. I may be travelling as a form of exercise. And Jesus says he's that as well. Whatever is the reason for our going, he's that way. The way with the travelling, he is. The third way it can be understood and translated is, he said, so sometimes, for example, I might say, which way shall I do this? In other words, what method shall I employ in order to achieve what I'm doing? And Jesus answers, I am. Whatever way you're wondering about, I am. If you want to know how to do a thing, I am that way. Look at me. I am that way. So if Jesus is the road that we're travelling along, what sort of road is he? Well, you don't have to make your mind up, because he tells us. He tells us that this road is straight. It's narrow. And it's not all that well populated. If you're going to travel this road, you're going to be in a minority. Because he says, the way is straight and narrow, but few there are that find it. Only a few find this road that Jesus is. So if I choose to walk that way, it's not going to be crowded. I mean, we'd love him, we'd pray for great revivals, but Jesus says only a few find the way that he is, this particular road. So, are you happy to be part of a minority? Because you've got to be, Jesus says so. There's only a few of us. They talked about the few in the Second World War, didn't they? And Jesus says, there's just a few that find this road. Now, what are we going to experience while we're travelling this road that Jesus is? Is it going to be an adventure? The first verse that was read to us from Romans 5 this morning told us that we have been justified. Right? And then it talked about living by faith. The words by faith were in that verse. And the scriptures say the just, those who are justified, will walk by faith. Will live by faith. Now, in certain churches, they've sort of separated off in their thinking certain people, and they describe them as living by faith. I was involved in the Lord's work from 1962 to 1988 without any salary. So people said I was living by faith. Now that's contradictory to the Bible. Because the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Everybody that's been justified will live by faith. Now Jesus says, I am this way. If you want to walk the way that I am, you are going to have to live by faith. Let that sink in a minute. We love reading those books, don't we, where there are great adventures. C.T. Studd, right? All the adventures he had. All these great heroes. That lady they made a film about that went off to China. That's it, yeah. And we make heroes out of these people and we say, ah, you see, but they live by faith. The driver of the truck had made a terrible mistake, an error of judgment. Don't suppose you could blame him. He'd been arrested, kept in a cellar for several days without food and drink, and then they let him go. He'd had 7 friends with him in this horrible great vehicle that he was driving. And he hadn't a clue where they were. The only way out of this little tiny village, he drove and honked his horn, wondering where these 7 young people were. And they came running out of a wood. And they'd been eating grapes and bits of leaves and all sorts of stuff to keep themselves going. So they all climbed on board the truck. It was a sort of mongrel of a vehicle put together from scrapyards in northern France and then driven down into Spain, taking with them lots of evangelistic literature, copies of the New Testament in Spanish. But when they clambered into the back of this truck, which had been a furniture van, there were no windows in it, there was a sort of roller blind thing. And that had been screwed down so nobody could get in from the back. And the only entrance was through the cab of the vehicle where they cut a hole in the other end of this furniture van. So they clambered in the back to discover that the people who had arrested the driver had stolen everything out of the back of the truck. All their possessions, guitars, cameras, money, everything had gone. They could have gone back slightly north to a town where they knew there was a church. But the driver had promised to be in Madrid. And he said, I can't go out of my way, we've just got to go. Now Spain was a totally different place. The driver hadn't driven on tarmac since he'd left France. Barcelona was all cobbles. And he was now driving west to where he believed Madrid to be, driving along cart tracks, often scraping the sides on this huge vehicle he was driving. He made it over the first range of mountains, drove down a valley and started to climb and got to the top, and then he freewheeled down the other side because he was out of petrol. They came to stop in a valley. According to this little map he'd been given, there weren't any villages. The nearest village was 75 miles back across 2 mountain ranges where he'd spent time in a cellar. He'd got out of that cellar first thing that morning. They gathered in the back of the truck, which was the coolest place. These people had just, they weren't sort of living by faith. They'd just given up a month of their summer holidays from university. The driver had taken time off work that he was entitled to. But now they were here, they'd nothing to drink, they'd nothing to eat, and they had no petrol. What do we do? Somebody got out because there was a dried up riverbed and started digging to see if there was any water down there. But there wasn't. And one of them said, shouldn't we pray? We are Christians. Shouldn't we? The driver said, I'm afraid it's my fault. I got us into this. I was in such a hurry to keep my promise to be in Madrid tomorrow. We should have gone to that church. They'd have helped. They began to pray. Suddenly there was a banging at the front of the vehicle. And the driver climbed back into the cab and stuck his head out. And standing there was a Roman Catholic priest. And he said, are there eight of you in there? And the driver said, yes. Right, follow me. And he started climbing this mountainside up a goat track. And wondering what on earth was going on and where he was from, they followed him. The driver had a bad left ankle because he had to kick the clutch every time he changed gear, and he had to double the clutch as well. And he'd been doing this for over a week, and he had a very badly swollen left ankle, and it really hurt to climb up this mountain, but he was helped by two of the others. And they came to a plateau where there was a small village, just white houses, stone built. And around this small village there were fields, field of corn, there was a vineyard, there were some sheep knocking about, chickens and so on. They were totally self-sufficient. Nobody ever went to the village, there was no postman ever came, no newspapers arrived, there were no telephones in the village. The only person that had ever been anywhere else was the priest. And when they followed him into a house, there was a table set for nine places. One for each of them and one for the priest. When they were seated, he clapped his hands and ladies came out with soup, lamb chops, omelettes. They'd made a sort of milk pudding. Very creamy. And he said to the driver, I was in my little chapel this morning and God said to me, get a meal ready for eight people. And as sure as I know that I love my mother, I knew it was God that was speaking to me. And that happened before the driver was let out of the cellar. God was already preparing an answer to prayer. And then the priest said, and also God told me, you haven't got any fuel for the truck. I've sent a little boy off on a donkey. He won't be back until tomorrow. It's a long way. But I've sent him to a farm. And I've told him to ask the farmer to send me some money and as much petrol as he can spare. So they slept overnight, had a lovely breakfast, and then waited for the donkey to arrive, which it did about midday, with a can of petrol either side and all the money that the farmer could spare, which was in those days 1,000 pesetas. And God provided an answer to prayer through one of his children, this lovely Roman Catholic priest who loved the Lord Jesus with all his heart. And I know that's true. I've been telling that story for 50 years in schools because I was the driver. And that's the way that Jesus is. A way where you are confronted by situations where you have to trust him. Where there's no other way to live except by faith. Their faith was weak and maybe even in some of them non-existent. But Jesus said it only takes a little faith to move a mountain. I didn't have much faith. I confessed to God it was me. I'm sorry, God, I should have gone the other way. I've got us into this pickle. If you can get us out of it, fine. But there was an if. But somebody had enough faith in God. And God knew they would have faith because he was already in action. Faith releases God into action. And because he has foreknowledge that one of those young men would really believe, he'd started to prepare the answer. Jesus kept saying to people, believe in me. Trust me. The word believe in the New Testament, if you read it in the Amplified Bible, I've got four versions in there, and one of them is the Amplified Bible. And where it says, whoever believes, it actually says, whoever believes, trusts, relies, depends, cleaves to me. And so it's not a sort of an intellectual agreement that something is true. It's doing something. It's relying on Jesus. It's depending on Jesus. It's cleaving to Jesus. This road that he is. The trouble is, a lot of us want to play safe. We want to choose the easy way. Well, that's not Jesus. He's the way that means we have to trust him. But he's trustworthy. And then, of course, he's the method. He is the answer. All right, Lord, I'll accept that if I walk the way that you are, it's going to be an adventure and I can't play safe. I've got to trust you. Which way shall I go? What method shall I choose in my going? You see, whenever we go anywhere, we've got a choice of the way to do it. Are you going to walk? Are you going to cycle? Are you going to go on the bus? Are you going to go by train? My wife had this decision a fortnight ago. A friend called Margaret, who lives up near the Lake District, had invited Corinne to go for a few days. Well, Corinne could have driven. She's got a car. It was a long way to walk from Herefordshire. And she decided to do something she hadn't done for, I don't know, 40 years and go by train. And it was an adventure. The train was late. She missed the connection. But that was the method she chose. And as well as going by train, it turned out to be an adventure. And the train runs on tracks. Jesus is all these. He said, I am the way. There isn't any other way for the believer than Jesus. He's not a way. And I'll tell this to the world. There aren't any other ways. Jesus said, I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way. And he's the way in all those three ways. He's the method, he's the adventure, he's the road that we're going to travel along. I really enjoy delving into the original language of the Bible because you learn so much more. There you go. I hope it blessed you. I hope it encouraged you. I know it will challenge you because it's challenged me. I'd never seen faith in action till then. I was only 5 years old as a believer. I had a pretty easy way. I'd started to preach. It's easy, isn't it, really? If God has gifted you with the ability, all you've got to do is sit. Nobody's going to throw rocks at you. Not in this country. Very seldom I hear somebody saying, rubbish! No, it's easy. If you're gifted. And that's the trouble for people like me. Have I preached by faith this morning? Or have I thought, well, I've done this thousands of times. I can do it, it's easy. And just depended on my experience. I think I've told this story before, I'm going to finish with it. Within weeks of becoming a believer, I went to a conference and I heard an elderly man who was then probably younger than I am now, saying, let me tell you a story. There was a very high wall and danger either side. And there were three characters walking along it. The first was Jesus. The second was faith. And the third was experience. Because experience always follows faith, whoever you're trusting in. But the minute that faith took his eyes off Jesus and began to look at experience, he fell off the wall. And sadly, there's a lot in the church that's off the wall. Because faith isn't looking at Jesus anymore, but depending on experience. And we look at the experience of others, and we depend on that. Or we look at our own experience in a new situation, and depend on our experience. I ask the Lord Jesus to help me to preach by faith this morning. Let us pray. You're always so much more than we think we know, Lord Jesus. Deepen our knowledge of you. Deepen our understanding of you by the Holy Spirit. Take human words and have the Holy Spirit change them so that lives can be changed for your glory. Amen.
About you, but I certainly found a lot of things to think about and challenge to my faith. It's a long time since I've heard someone take just two or three words from Scripture and preach on just two or three words, and it just shows us, if nothing else, the depth and the richness that there is in God's Word for each one of us, and even familiar verses that we can learn something new from that God can take us on with. So thank you, Gordon. Thank you for preaching by faith and blessing many of our hearts.